The federal budget is almost 3 weeks away, and the government appears no closer to securing Senate support for the centrepiece, its economic centrepiece anyway, corporate tax cuts. The coalition wants to drop the corporate tax rate from 30% to 25% for all businesses. But despite intense lobbying, it hasn't been able to convince enough crossbench senators to give it the go-ahead. The two centre alliance senators, formerly from the Nick Xenophon team, aren't budging. They say the coalition should take its proposal to the next election. Stirling Griff is from the newly rebadged Centre Alliance. He joins us from Adelaide. Senator Stirling Griff, welcome to breakfast.
Yes, good morning, Fran.
The government's been talking to you since it decided to pull the vote because it didn't have the numbers. Has anything that it's shown you, persuaded you, that there's merit in expanding the corporate tax cut from business with a turnover of less than $50 million to all businesses, which is its plan?
Look, not at this point, Fran. I mean, look, they're continuing to send us and of course, the other crossbenchers, literally truckloads of data to back up their claims that helping the big end of town will solve all of the country's woes and, of course, you know, bring about mass prosperity. But for us, it doesn't just cut it at this stage, you know, particularly the argument that our tax rate is uncompetitive. And unless government can magic up some serious data from credible sources, we'll continue to oppose it.
What do you think might persuade you? What do you think the government could do to make the plan acceptable to you?
Well, it really comes down to, you know, where does the money come from? I mean, you know, we firstly need to see a big reduction in the deficit and no cuts to core public services such as health and education, which really it's very difficult to see that a reduction in the corporate tax is not going to bring about a corresponding reduction in government services. Now, look, you know, you have a look also at the argument in relation to us or Australia being uncompetitive compared to other countries. And, you know, you have a look at even that review of the tax paid by the top Business Council of Australia members over the last 2 years, and it shows their average rate is just 12%. So, you know, saying 25%, 30%, it's not really the effective rate that companies are paying now.
No, and the federal government has, as you said, given you truckloads of data. We heard yesterday, or we read yesterday, comments from Darren Hinch, another of your crossbench colleagues, not from your party, but sits alongside you on the crossbench, saying that he thinks the government's really stopped talking to him and is focusing more on you two, on the Centre Alliance. Is there any chance, do you think, that you will be persuaded to back the government's plan?
Look, we're looking at everything that they're giving us. I mean, Rex Patrick, my colleague Rex Patrick, is the person that's analysing the information that they are sending. But at this stage, we don't have any intention to change our position, but we'll certainly continue to talk to them.
Speaking of Darren Hinch again, he said that he has discussed a compromise position with the government, lifting the cut-off for businesses with a turnover of $50 million, which is where the tax cut is at the moment, to $500 million and capping it there. Are you attracted to that compromise, and have you spoken with the government about that? Are they looking at that?
No, I haven't spoken to government, and look, good on Darren for thinking about alternatives, but we'd very much need to see the detail and factor in the upcoming budget before we reconsider our opinion.
Darren Hinch has also hinted he might try and trade his vote support for the company tax cut if the government would issue a ban on live animal exports. Would you be willing to horse trade on that issue, on another issue? What's your view on this?
Well, we're not looking. What needs to be done is looking at what's right for the country. If, as a result of that, we can also achieve some concessions or benefits for our individual states or core issues, that's fine. But it's really not about horse trading. It's about sitting down and looking at what's right. Now, in relation to live exports, look, we wouldn't support a ban, but we would support tougher penalties for inhumane behaviour and welcome the review currently being undertaken by the Department of Agriculture.
Okay. The Federal Treasurer said yesterday the government is committed to pursuing the full tax cuts right across the board, that it is going to, you know, keep pursuing this policy. Given the tax cut isn't getting through the Senate, would you expect the government will leave it in or out of the budget papers? Is it reasonable for them to include it and plan around it in the forward estimates if they are intending, as they say they are, to go to the next election with it if they don't get it through before then?
Oh, look, I think they'll have two sets of budget papers, one in the hope that it'll get through and one in the hope that it won't get through. And what's been interesting, of course, in the last week or so, we've had numerous journalists, and you may have heard the same thing, suggesting that they're intending to, you know, bring Parliament or recall Parliament a little earlier to actually cover off this issue. So that'll be very interesting to watch in the next week as well.
Would you support that?
No, we wouldn't.
We're heading towards the budget. Do you have a view of the budget? I'm referring to this research we saw from Food Bank over the weekend that talked about the number of Australian children who are going without food one day a week at least. I think something around 10% of Australian children are living in households where they have no food, basically, one day a week. Do you think, are you making any efforts, or have you looked at this research, or do you expect there should be some focus on this in the budget?
Oh, look, there has to be a focus on this. I mean, there has to be a focus federally and state on this. You can't have this situation arising. And, you know, we would certainly support any move by government and also the states to improve things in that regard.
It's 18 to 8 on Breakfast. Our guest is Senate crossbencher Sterling Griff from the newly rebadged Centre Alliance. Can we come to your new name, your party, old party, I guess, new name, from the Nick Xenophon team to Centre Alliance? Do you know, I think people know who and what the Centre Alliance is?
Well, they may not at this stage, but I mean, Nick Xenophon team itself, there was always an intention to change the name of the party. In fact, Nick flagged that well over a year ago, and with Nick no longer involved in the management of the party, it made sense to change the name to what we represent, which is the centre ground of politics. So really, it's business as usual for us, but just with a different name.
And so business as usual without Nick Xenophon, who has been not just your founder, but your leader. Does he have any ongoing role with the party?
Look, Nick remains a voting member of the party, but his focus has very much changed in recent weeks. He's looking better than I've ever seen him. Relaxed, lost a few kilos, and very much enjoying taking time away from politics to focus on his family and law practice.
Do you regret the gamble he took, leaving this federal Senate to try and become a power player in the South Australian government and failing there?
Look, South Australia needed Nick. Yeah, it very much needed Nick during the election period. I think it sharpened the pencils for both parties. And look, it didn't work out for him in the end, but he gave it a very good go, and I'm sure we'll see more of him in the future.
And what about any ongoing role as a paid employee of the party? He was doing that for a few weeks, working for Senator Rex Patrick. Any plans? Will we see Nick Xenophon back in Parliament House in any guise?
No. That's extremely unlikely. Certainly in the federal sphere, he might be helping them out a little bit on a state level, but my understanding is that he's enjoying a well-deserved break at this stage.
And what about your own party, the Centre Alliance? Do you intend to have an appointed leader or operate without a leader?
Well, we don't need to operate with a leader at this point. I mean, it's only Rex Patrick and myself and Rebecca Sharkey in the lower house, so I think the three of us can work it out together.
And just on that, have you had any dealings with Tim Storer since he entered the Senate? He was he ran originally as a member of the Nick Xenophon team. Then when Skye Kokoschky-Moore was ruled ineligible over citizenship, he'd already left NEXT by then, but he's taken up that role. So he was there with you at one point. He's independent at the moment. Would you like to work closely with him? Do you have plans or negotiations?
Oh, look, we have a good relationship with Tim. I mean, he was a member of the party for some time, as you mentioned, and he very much stood for the same core policies that we do, and we have similar voting patterns so far. So I'd imagine that will continue in the main, and of course we'd welcome him to be a part of Centre Alliance if you'd like to do that in the future.
And any thoughts or hopes that he will?
I'd like to think he would, but look, you know, the fact is we're actually voting along similar lines, so that's what's really important, and we're all there to look after South Australia's interests.
Sterling Griff, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Senate crossbencher Sterling Griff from the newly rebadged Centre Alliance.